Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 42 for our second reading. Genesis 42, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look upon one another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land you're come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so that your words be verified, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter, and he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, in the inn he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. Then he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? And they came to Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly unto us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 men, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest this day is with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. One of the things I learned about Joseph growing up in the evangelical church is that Joseph was a type of Christ. We understand that. We saw that especially in the last chapter where he was elevated, right? He went from humiliation to exaltation, and then he became the nourisher of not just Egypt, but really for the purposes of the church, he was elevated to the top of Egypt. And in that sense, he is something of a type of Christ. That's right. The other thing that we learned growing up in those churches is that Joseph is one of those types that never breaks down. He always does the right thing. And of course, we learned as we looked more closely at that as the years went by that that's not true. Twice in this chapter, Joseph utters what we would call a minced oath by the life of Pharaoh, in that he cannot be an example to us, and he is certainly not a type of Christ. Joseph is a type like many of the other types of Christ. He is a fallen man who in some ways will foreshadow the ministry of Christ, and yet in his own right, he is a sinner, a man who is a sinner. So we may not follow Joseph in his minced oaths when he says to his brethren twice, by the life of Pharaoh, even though he's playing a role and playing a part still, we may not say things like that. All right, so we have this very straightforward and very believable narrative, with the exception perhaps of that Joseph has this, what some of the commentators will call this prophetic influence upon him, whereby he is doing something. He is on a mission for the good of his brethren and for the good of the church. He is pressing them to repent of their sin of selling their brother into slavery, or as Reuben thought it, of killing him outright. Remember what happened there, that they sold him into slavery, although they had a plan to kill him. Reuben was departed from them for a little while, came back and saw the pit empty where Joseph was, had planned on fishing him out and maybe even releasing him, right, to go back on his own. But at the end, what happened was they sold him into slavery. Reuben thought he had died, and they never disabused him of that. As Reuben will say here, right, one is not, or he will also say, his blood is now required. Reuben thought Joseph was dead, that the brethren had killed him, and he had sat on that truth the whole time. And perhaps the most amazing portion of this passage is that when the Lord begins to work on someone, bringing them under the prophetic influences of his word, one of the first things he does is to awaken their conscience. So here Joseph is somewhere around 37 or 38 years old. By now he has been in Egypt nearly 20 years, if not more than 20 years, somewhere around 20 years. And so for 20 years, these brethren of Joseph, the sons of Jacob, have carried with them what they did to their brother. Oh, like most people, they have been able to push down those pangs of conscience. They've worked and worked and worked and worked on their conscience until conscience no longer cries out, except perhaps in a weak moment, which they are able to best. They're able to get over that as they please. But now they are brought under the prophetic influences that the Lord is pressing through Joseph. And so Joseph asks them, "Do you have any other brothers?" Immediately, here comes conscience like a flood. And so they don't think Joseph can understand. And so they're speaking in the Hebrew tongue, and they say to one another, "We are very guilty for what we did to our brother, in that we heard his crying and hearkened not." Not only were we unbrotherly, we were downright cruel. Reuben believes that Joseph has passed away, that he was killed at the hands of his brother, and said, "This is his blood being required by God." Beloved, let me just be as direct as I can be with you. You cannot outrun your conscience. If the Lord is your Lord, whatever it is that you have done, the things that you have said in secret will be brought to light. Or as Moses said, your sin will find you out. This is a mercy that the Lord brings to his wayward people. Make no mistake here. These 10 sons of Jacob, brothers of Joseph, they are some of the most wicked men upon the face of the earth. They killed their brother, or at least sold him into slavery. One of them thought he was dead. They had no pity for his crying. They hated him because he was righteous and told them the truth that he had received from God about them bowing down to him one day. They were jealous of his position. They did not love him in that brotherly way. They broke the brotherly covenant and sold him into slavery, and then did not tell their father, and with great callous heard their father's cries and let him believe he was dead. This is great wickedness, and it will take a bit of a process to bring them to repentance. They have lain in this sin now for 20 or more years. Do you think it will be overcome in a fortnight? Children, a fortnight is 2 weeks, 14 days. It will not. It will take longer than that. It will take threatening. It will take difficulty. It will take affliction. And finally, it will take the repentance of one who will lead them in the rest. Beloved, the longer we lie in our sins and squelch our conscience, the greater the surgeon's knife must cut through the calluses to reach the heart of the matter. Do not sear your conscience. So hard had they become that now this comes flooding back in such a way that they are almost not able to bear it. And when then Joseph, again acting under the prophetic influence, "You are spies, you are dishonest men." And then what do? They end up with their money in their sacks that they use to buy grain. And what are they thinking? "He's going to think we stole the grain. What are we going to do now?" It was already iffy with this guy. What is it going to be when we return? You see what the Lord is doing. He is striking, and he's striking, and he's bringing them down, and he's humbling them. and eventually they will come to their own as believers in the Lord. That's my opinion anyway. So all of these other circumstances and the strangeness of Joseph and all that he is doing here, remember that Joseph is under a prophetic influence to bring the brothers to repentance. And God is working through that young man, that 37, 38-year-old man now, to bring his brethren to repentance. So, Joseph also has a concern, and it is a valid concern for Benjamin. If they killed Joseph or thought to kill him and sold him into slavery, they will have the same sort of animus toward the other heir whom Jacob believes will be the heir of the covenant. And so if it wasn't Rachel's first son, Joseph, who is now gone, it will be Rachel's second son, Benjamin. And so Joseph understands, at least in his way of experience and thinking, that Benjamin is also imperiled. So you will not see my face again until you bring your other son. Jacob, for his part, very interestingly, he will say a little bit later, why did you even tell him I had another son? Right? Why did you do that? Well, because you know what that reveals, right? It reveals that they were under some kind of compulsion to come clean, to tell the whole truth, that the Lord was already working upon their hearts. But finally then, as we close, we see that the work in this, at least here at this chapter, that it is not complete. Right? When they find that their money is in their sack, they put their hands on their heads and they say, what has God done to us? Oh, poor us. Jacob, for his part, my children, you have bereaved. Simeon is gone and Joseph is not. And now you want to take my other son? All these things are against me. Beloved, hear this well. Repentance is not about you. It's about God. It's about him being offended. And it's not about any ill feeling or mistreatment you might have. Once we get repentance straight, we will say with Job, though he slay me, I will trust him. Or with Ezra, we will say, he has punished us less than our sins deserve. And we will, like Ephraim, smite upon our thigh. Not in self-pity, as we see the brethren and Jacob. And you can see here, the brethren got it honestly from their father. No, rather we will see that our concern is for the holiness of God and his offense in repentance. And it will not be, oh, how do I get out from under these ill feelings? It's not what it's about. It's about God's holiness. And so we do not yet see a complete repentance. We don't see repentance in Jacob. And we don't see repentance and spiritual maturity in the brethren. But beloved, hang on, because we will. Because when the Lord starts this process, he will finish it. He that begun a good work with them in the days of Joseph will complete it. He will bring it to its fruition. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 42.